Alana Nash?
Yes.
Alana. Alana Nash.
Alana Nash.
This lady, I want to tell you, may I tell you something? She is a great writer. Thank you. You are a great writer. A lot of the Elvis stuff that we use on the show is courtesy of her books. And she has a new book now called The Colonel. And we're going to find out about it. Here she is. Alana, hi.
Hi there.
Hi, happy Elvis Death Day to you.
It's also my birthday, by the way.
Wow,
that's interesting.
Yeah. And happy birthday.
Thank you.
You know, we often don't give credit because that's one of the things we do best on this show.
Yes, hold back credit.
But a lot of the we do an Elvis show every year.
Yes, and, it's legendary.
And a lot of the stuff that we use, a lot of people ask the stories we get, and we never say they're from your books. But they are.
Your book, the Memphis Mafia book from maybe three or four years back,
is
a page turner if there ever was one.
Well,
mm-hmm. Cannot put it
thank
down.
You. Thank you very much.
We love it. We love it, and we love the fact that you are telling us the truth about Elvis, and now...
And we always say that Elvis keeps on giving because he does, and it just seems not a year goes by where you don't have another story surface about the king of rock and roll.
The Colonel. Now, we all know that the Colonel was just the lowest of the low. That Elvis had his problems, you know, bowel problems, drug problems, whatever. But this guy, you certainly, Alana, know about these. They were playing these records today that the Colonel put out on his own label, Boxcar Records. These talking, spoken word albums of Elvis where he's just effed up out of his mind. And the guy's only thought was, well, I get to keep the money. I don't have to share the money with RCA because it's spoken word.
Right, exactly right.
And he took such advantage of Elvis. So tell us, how did Elvis Presley wind up a druggy hulk who used towels for diapers and believed he could control the weather? How did that happen?
Colonel Tom Parker.
He's the man.
Wow.
He's responsible.
And what did he do, what in your opinion is the biggest thing that he did over the career of Elvis to make Elvis so effed up?
Well, it's a combination of things, I guess. The biggest factor is keeping him in those lightweight, terrible musicals for such a long time when this guy was burning to get back on the live stage.
You know, a true story.
Yeah, Colonel Tom Parker was the guy behind these movies that Elvis really hated to be a part of, right?
I think most people know that Barbra Streisand called Elvis and said, I'm going to do this movie, A Star Is Born, and... For whatever reason, Elvis didn't end up... Chris Christopherson got the role.
Right, yeah, I remember the movie.
And that could have turned Elvis's whole career around.
Right.
Did the Colonel have anything to do with them turning down that movie?
Yes. You know, people kind of are you know, vary about the reason for this. I think the Colonel thought he couldn't handle it. And certainly there wasn't as much money as the Colonel wanted. They weren't going to give him billing over Streisand, which is what he wanted, even though she was producing it. It was her production company. You know, kind of an outrageous demand there. He couldn't get the movie rights that he wanted. I just think, all in all, it's a combination of greediness on the Colonel's part and probably some deep-seated fear that Elvis just couldn't handle it. And if they did want to do another film again, which I don't think he really was up to.
And the Colonel was a shady guy to start with, right? I mean,
his
history was kind of in the shadows.
Everything about him is suspect, I would say.
And now here's something that I want to have confirmed by you. You know, is it true or false that years before, the Colonel made Elvis turn down West Side Story, that he was offered a starring role in West Side Story, and the Colonel made him turn that down?
I don't think it was actually a real offer. I think there was some talk about it, but not. It didn't go as far as even to say The Rainmaker, where talks had gotten a little farther along.
Didn't the Colonel often compare, if not out loud, at least in his own mind, Elvis to his dancing poodles? He also had like circus acts.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he think of Elvis along the same lines as, even though he made more, he was no more than a dancing poodle?
Well, I don't think he ever quite said that. Dancing chicken, maybe. but really, he did call him My Attraction, which is a sideshow term, and right out of the carnivals where the Colonel started.
Wow.
And at the end, when Elvis was playing Vegas, how much in debt was the Colonel to the casinos in Las Vegas? Any idea?
Well, you know, he owed all around town. A lot of them had cut him off. But the Hilton, where Elvis played, just kept letting him gamble and gamble and gamble. And on the day Elvis died, he owed them alone $30 million in gambling.
Whoa!
Wow.
Oh, my God. I never knew that.
Yeah.
And that's
amazing.
What about...
It's funny money out there, though, you know.
Yeah. What about the Colonel being an illegal alien?
Oh, absolutely. His name is Andreas Cornelis van Kalk. He's from Holland. And he was here illegally for almost 70 years. He never became a citizen.
Never became a citizen.
Now, what kind of flack do you get from the squarehead Elvis fans who read your book and go, and really, the books are written, even though we pick out the best stuff to read,
yeah,
they're actually very fairly written.
Right.
Well, thank you.
With quotes from all kinds of people surrounding Elvis Presley. We just picked the best ones to read. But overall, it's a less than flattering look at Elvis. While the true look, do you get any crap from the diehards that, like, go down to Graceland every year?
You know, there's one woman who's always pounding on me, and it's funny because I saw her yesterday, and she came over and asked me to sign a copy of my book. But actually, most people see it for what it is. I do really strive to be fair, and in this case, Elvis's mental and physical deterioration, his emotional decline, is brought up and stressed to show what terrible shape he was in, and that the man who really was in charge of keeping him fit in every way just turned his head and didn't do a darn thing.
You know, you hear a lot about the Memphis Mafia and the people that were close to Elvis, and I've always, up until this point, always thought about those people, Sonny, Red, Joe Esposito, the guys that were around Elvis. I've thought of them as being the guys that didn't step in, that didn't intervene. And now that I hear this, we're pointing the finger kind of at Colonel Tom Parker.
Well, a lot of them got as effed up as Elvis did.
Right, but I'm curious how aware and how directly responsible was Colonel Tom Parker about this. You know, did people come to him ever and say, hey, Elvis is messed up and you got to stop this? I mean, did he look the other way? Did he know all this was going on? I mean, how responsible was he?
He certainly knew it. He had spies in the Elvis camp, two of whom I just saw in Memphis for Elvis Week who were just thrilled to see me because I've reported that. But back to Red just for a second. Red did try to do something, and of course he got fired as a result.
Right.
The colonel only really paid lip service to all this. He did say to Vernon on occasion, you know, you need to take him off the road. And in the colonel's defense, Vernon said back to him, according to an eyewitness who worked for Concerts West, which promoted those concerts, you know, Elvis wants to be on the road, and if you don't want to take him out there, we'll find somebody else who will. But the colonel was the only one who had enough power to really get something done. There was another attempt, a sort of half-hearted attempt to get Elvis off the road and into a hospital in California, where they could have done more than Baptist Hospital in Memphis. But nobody really followed through on it, so nothing happened.
Well, let me mention a plug for this book. You go to Amazon or Borders.com. It's published by Simon & Schuster. The book is called The Colonel by Alana Nash. We're going to get a copy. It'll be on our show next year. And let me just, for everybody that listens to our Elvis show every year, a brief rundown. We're finally going to give her some credit for the stories that we've used over the years. Buzz, your favorite story.
Yes.
Cough syrup and champagne flute.
Mm-hmm.
That came from Elena.
Thank you, ma'am.
Alana. I'm sorry. My favorite story about Elvis on the horse sleeping, eating the hot dog rolls.
Yeah. Yeah.
That came from her.
Yeah.
Mike, one of your favorites.
Yeah.
The flash bulbs in the pool.
One of my all-time favorites.
Came from her. Here's another one that came from her. That pleases me greatly. Remember,
call me if his condition worsens. We're not obsessed with him at all, though.
Elvis shooting the toilet. Peaches and popsicles. Remember when Elvis went on the peach diet?
Right.
Baby talk. Oh, I want some ice cream. So sooties and
this
Itty
is
dream.
Our person Itty, here. Itty
Dream.
Itty
Dream and
right.
Sooties.
Right.
And maybe most importantly, what we use every year to start the Elvis show. The TCB oath.
Yeah.
Can you tell us?
Oh, my God.
How did he write that? Because every year we read that at the beginning of the show, and people say that part about freedom from constipation has to be a joke. But it's not, right?
You know, this is one thing I can't really vouch for. I really don't know. I really don't know.
Did you mystery.
Ever, did you ever see it?
No. I think that actually is from some other source, believe it or not.
Okay. Who are your... can you tell us? I mean, besides the names that I see... listed in the book, and it's Lamar and Billy and Marty and all of the guys. We've had most of these guys on the show.
Is there one of those guys? I just have one question, and I don't know whether you know it, Alana. Is there one of those guys that was more responsible than some of the other guys for keeping Elvis in as much of a drug situation as he was in?
Oh, no. I mean, this guy was just a hardcore prescription drug addict. I mean, he got that stuff from so many different sources. But
right.
The Memphis Mafia really do get kind of a bad rap about that. A number of them really did speak with him or try to water down substances
and
give him placebos. It's just, you know, if you're a hardcore junkie, you're just going to, you know it immediately if somebody's watering down your stuff, and you go out and get it from some other source.
And one last thing I want to give you credit on. It is in your book where Billy Smith says Joe Esposito denies he knocked Elvis's teeth out, but Patsy told him about it. That brought us great joy, the thought of having to knock Elvis's teeth.
Well, listen, as colorful as Elvis is, the Colonel is much, much weirder. Yeah.
So the Colonel is a bad guy, too, and we will get your book, and we'd love to have you on after we read it. Would you please come back?
Well, you would love to. You'll love how he got out of the Army. Just let me tell you that.
Wow. Oh, what a tease.
Good tease.
All right, well, and listen, if you'll hold on and talk to our producer, can we please get you back after we get the book?
That'd be great.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Alana.
Hold on, please.
Great job.
She's got a lot of great Elvis stuff. That's where we get a lot of our material from. Man, not only is...
Remember that, we got to pay attention to how the Colonel got out of the Army. Yeah.
And also, you know, as I was searching back, she wrote that Penthouse article that's so great about cutting loose.
My Peter.
Yeah.
Cutting loose in a girl's hair.
Wow. She's the greatest source. She is a great author.
She's a terrific. She's out of sight.